Coming up on Enlightened Radio, The Sports Attack with Mike Diesel. Moving its to its new regular live broadcast time of Mondays at 7 o'clock in the morning Eastern Time. Here it goes. Take it away, Mike. All right, we got the recording started. And let me do the intro here. Welcome to Enlightened Radio. You're broadcasting from enlightenedradio.org. And our location is Harpers Ferry, West Virginia.
The Little Red Caboose,
this
baby!
Show today is the Lap Attack, or that's a Sports Attack. I'm
sports
sorry.
Sports Attack, Lap Attack. I don't know what you should be
talking about. I like to mention, I'm just always tempting, you know, Mike, your host today, Mike, to give us a weather machine. Although in order to do that, he has to impersonate a certain world leader that in a way that might lead some to think that he was mimicking Asian American speech in a way that
was actually very degrading.
That might be. So he's not going to do this, even though when he does do it, I have to admit, and maybe this is white man, I don't know, but I just laugh my ass off whenever he does it. So, I'm not going to resist. I know he has high principles on this question, and
I have to point something out to you.
Yes.
There was a young lady who got a Netflix special who I find to be incredibly funny. And it sucks that I can't remember her name, but she does this impression of her pedicurist and manicurist. And it is one, you know, she looks like a little tiny white girl. And she's like, okay, you need to look down. Okay, hold up. Look down. Now, look. Oh, look. You got eye. Oh, pretty eye. And I was like, wow, it's going right at it, man. So I don't think she would do it if she didn't have it down more specifically, unless it's very less degrading. It's funny because we all, unfortunately, to one degree or another, whatever that means, there's a great many Asian Americans who have been in the field of cosmetics for a very long time, and they're damn good at it.
By the way, was there a stand-up named Margaret Cho way back?
Yes, she's brilliant. Shout out to Margaret Cho. She is judgmental character back in the day, and I am less so now. And I just find her continue to find her growth amazing as a human being. She's also a brilliant actress.
She's been in a number of films. I know. Yeah, right.
Yeah, she's a smart young lady. She's very funny.
I heard her. That's one of the few stand-up acts, Mike, I've actually ever heard. You know.
You should watch.
I didn't usually go to comedy clubs, but when I on the West Coast once we went out and we saw her. And,
great.
I practically hadn't.
You have an aneurysm almost?
Yeah. You know, she had me going
to
so bad.
You will laugh your ass off, dude. It's some funny stuff.
I felt embarrassed by my own behavior, you know. But
she actually, to me, I think she does a kind of a, you know, straddle that line where it is from an authoritative position. She can speak about any kind of Asian accent. And God bless her for that, because she just, you know, she gives you what she came to the table with, but then more. And some of her jokes have been turning to like the social realm and the political realm. And she's a very liberal person, and I respect that. It's hard to be at that level and continue to get a lot of work from people who don't believe one thing that's coming out of your mouth, or you think you're completely full of shit. I just warn you, be careful of the tenacity of a road comic and a stand-up comic. Be careful.
Right.
Hey, I'm echoing some Ron White words. So.
This is the Sports Attack, and Mike.
I don't know which Mikey.
I want to call you Mikey, just because you've changed your mind several times about your last name. Anyway, welcome to the Sports Attack, and let me deliver to you the one and only Mike Cucarini.
Hey, everybody, how you doing? It's Sports Attack today, and I just want to give a really pleasant shout out to Shepherd's Own. Deshaun Pierce, who played for Shepherd, and was on the taxi squad for the Washington Commanders this past year, and he is a back and forth. I think he's a starter at safety and corner. I think he's a very multi-talented kid, and he is making his way on the DC Defenders defense and playing exceptionally well. They were involved in a knockdown dragout, man. They were fighting for home field this past weekend. They were, I believe, 7-1, and they had to go 8-1 to get home field advantage in the playoffs. So anything that comes through the playoffs is going to have to come here to DC through the Defenders. So
right.
That's pretty cool. We can honestly say we have a number one seed in the XFL. You know, and that stadium is just rocking. I don't know if you heard about what happened.
No.
But when they said you're not allowed to have the beer snake anymore, because the audience just does a brilliant job every weekend of screaming. It's sold out. It's packed, man. It reminds you of what RFK used to be. These people are excited to see and cheer for a good football team. Right. Now, we're going to get back to that in a second.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Josh Harris, Magic Johnson, and I believe the gentleman who plays basketball for the Phoenix Suns, who was playing for Brooklyn. He won a championship with the Los Angeles – or I'm sorry, the Golden State Warriors. And he went on to go to – Brooklyn, that didn't work out, so they sent him to the Phoenix. He's playing in the playoffs right now. It's not. I don't want to say it's not Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant. That's who it is. Kevin Durant. I knew right. It was rolling around in this bulbous head of mine, but just a great natural basketball player. But just somebody that that tall should not be allowed to be that fast and that athletic too.
Amen.
He's certainly got some gifts, and I'm happy for him, but I'm more happy for the 36, 37-year-old Chris Paul, who is playing, you know, some limited time, but man, when he's in there, Jesus, he's just one of the best point guards I think that's ever played the game. So
wow.
I've been watching some of the basketball, admittedly. I stayed up a little bit too late last night watching some of the game. And these games are exciting. I mean, it's The Clippers have Kawhi Leonard, who used to play with Kevin Durant in Oklahoma City.
Wow.
Okay. So these guys are going after each other. It's fascinating to watch. The NBA puts on a product, unlike any other, and people dismiss me and say they don't believe that. Well, you better be in damn good shape if you're going to play professional basketball. It's, man. Too much running for this fat guy. I'm like, wow, you guys are really doing the great work. I'm going to hydrate. I just walked down the stadium steps, and I really, I'm exhausted, man. I'm going to need to hydrate because I'm in my seat now. But, yeah, I'm just pleased for Dwayne Johnson and his ex-wife, who is his partner in this venture. Vargas, I believe her name is, and they've just done a wonderful job. They've reinvigorated the XFL. The only problem with that is you still have another league over there going, I work from the USFL. We actually have a long-term contract with so-and-so. And the USFL's product is similar in that they're offering you full disclosure. They're like, if a play is reviewed, they go inside the review booth and you can hear what the review official is saying. And the NFL is going to eventually, whether they like it or not, have to go to that pattern. That format's going to have to be, because you're going to have to see the logic behind the call. Why was the call made? Was that actual possession, or did the ball hit the turf? And if it did hit the turf, were his hands underneath the ball to caress it and call for possession, or did he lose control of the pass? If that's reviewed, you have to show the review. And also, the cool thing is the XFL is showing you all the different angles that they see. And that's, here to date, has not been available to the general public. I think it's very smart. I also think the kickoffs are exciting in the XFL. They have the guy kicking from the original four. He's all the way the hell back here. You line up 5 yards apart from each other, and the ball is kicked, and when the guy catches it, that's when people can move. That's fair. That's a fair shake. It gives you, you know, an opportunity. If you could break that wedge on either side, if you have a play designed, you're going to have to think of strategy if you're a coach on your special teams. You really are. Now, the defenders have had a great special team. In fact, I think there's a punter on their team. It's going to be, if he doesn't hurt himself, it's going to be stupid if he doesn't end up in an NFL uniform next year, because damn, that boy can kick.
Wow.
Yeah, he has the highest average in the XFL. Now, I don't know when the championship starts. I know it's coming up. We have one more game, one more regular season game. I don't know if the coach is going to rest the starters, because they already know they have home field advantage in the playoffs. So this last game, but you also have to see in the XFL, I don't think they do business that way. I think the XFL is like, okay, I don't care. You know, a lot of these fellows are like, you know what? I don't care that it's the last game I'm playing, because you still have more of your audition tape for the NFL that you have to add to. You see that, it's kind of like Deshaun was on the taxi squad for a month for the defenders, and he left there and came to D.C., or was in D.C. already, knows D.C., and damn, he was good. He was playing he's a real smart football player. So, you know, watching that, you have this expectation of some of the people from Shepherd, and it's tough. I'm hoping good things for, I think it's Taylor Badgett, I think is probably going to surprise some people in the NFL. The guy who was the quarterback. Because the problem that I have right now is I'm sitting here watching Mel Kiper talk about the draft coming up in April, at the end of April, right? There's like 3 days of drafts, right? Mel Kiper has not once mentioned Badgett, once. Not once. And he had a pro day here. He had scouts from the NFL at this stadium evaluating him. He's a big, strong, fast kid who's just nothing but clay to just mold into a great quarterback. I mean, his father is pretty much a physical specimen as well. I mean, they're both very, very big guys, and I'm just happy for him. I hope like hell he gets signed by somebody, even if it's in a backup role, because sometimes you could just, you know, you're only one play away from going in the game, John.
Wow.
Look at the career of Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah.
Drew Bledsoe doesn't get hurt. Nobody ever hears of Tom Brady.
Right. Right.
You know, Drew Bledsoe had a concussion. Brady went in and went on a run, man. And that run ran like 15, 16 years, man. 17.
Oh, unbelievable.
Won how many Super Bowls? How many MVPs?
Six.
How many passing titles?
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable.
When you're that good, there's something, I think, psychologically wrong with you if you stay at the table that long.
Well, but you know, the game's got to be a thrill, right? It's like performance.
Oh,
It's like performance. You know, you see people that do, you know, like in bands and stuff, and if they make it, and it's, you know, it's hard to ever equal that high. Okay, really.
Right.
I mean, you know, when
right.
you,
I mean,
right,
you had, and you had like somebody like just comes to mind. Good football players have some consistencies and some good habits. Okay. Like Dante Culpepper, who played he was a quarterback for the Houston Texans. He did something that I thought he knew he wasn't incredibly fast. He had good, quick feet, but what he was good at is climbing the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
As these pockets break down and you get defenses in your face, you can do little moves.
That subtlety
sometimes is lost on this generation. I'll tell you who, surprisingly, I think Jalen Hurts for the Philadelphia Eagles is probably one of the best at that, because he's not a real tall guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got good height. I think he's 6'2", 6'1", 6'2". But he just signed the richest contract in NFL history. 5 years, $255 million, $178 million guaranteed.
Now, this is doing for – you had a name for breaking up the pocket. What'd you call this? You had a name.
Climbing.
Climbing the pocket. Climbing the pocket. You know who must have been –
the pocket. Brady was good at it. Joe Montana was really good at it. Hell, Joe Theismann was good at it.
Now, the first football game my dad ever took me to in Washington, the quarterback was a midget by comparison called Eddie LeBaron.
Yeah, everybody remembers Eddie.
And Eddie did a lot of motion. He did a lot of passing in motion, and he...
Oh, yeah.
It was hard to see how he kept from being crushed.
Well, yeah, it was a sprint pass offense. I mean, he'd roll out to the right, roll out to the left, and get rid of the ball quick.
Right, right, okay.
Yeah, and he had that Drew Brees kind of all throw through the twigs so my tree can catch it. You know what I mean? Brees was after he got injured for playing for the Chargers, the Chargers saw an opportunity, so they shipped him to New Orleans. I wonder if you asked any of the Chargers from back then if they still think that was a good idea to get rid of Brees. He ends up being in the top three of prolific passers of all time. He rehabs his injury in New Orleans, comes back, and he is one of those guys. He does some things that are a little bit frustrating sometimes. He's not really he knew he wasn't aware of because of privilege, man. You get privileged, and that's the way when you have that kind of money, it equates to privilege. But I think he's the first real leader and quarterback that I've seen that really advocates for Pilates. He advocates for like the kind of PT I'm doing, like resistance exercises and stretching and making sure every part of your body is balanced and strong, you know? And I love that because he does it through stretching and all these interesting and intricate things that he's stretching his shoulders and his hips out with. So when he does go down, nothing pulls or tears.
Yeah, right.
He has studied. These guys literally study how to fall.
Oh, I mean, it's a survival skill, really.
Isn't it? In that game, yeah. If you go here to here, where my chest is to here, and you tap the quarterback in the NFL, that's a hit to that above the shoulders. If you hit, that's a 15-yard penalty.
Remember, we're on audio, brother.
Oh, are we?
Yeah. We're not
we're
doing
just video. On audio?
Yeah, we're not doing video.
All right, Dan. I hear you.
I mean.
All right, I'll come on. It's okay. I'm just going to tell you right now.
Yeah, right.
Every time it rains, she loses an article of clothing. Who's with me?
Absolutely.
Shut your ass up, Dorn, and get back out there on second base and stop your pitching.
That's right.
Give him the heater, Ricky. Stick to the heater. The weather is going to give us the heater coming up here tomorrow on Friday. The temperature is supposed to go to, shit, it's so goddamn hot.
Oh, man.
You bunch of dumb sons of bitches are going to have to practice indoors. Now shut up.
Well, you know, you got Leo to call in. My God almighty. Jesus.
Give him the heater, Ricky.
Well, Ricky, man. I want the return of Ricky.
Oh, listen, man. I was a
wild
extra.
Thing. Wild thing.
I was an extra, dude. I was an extra in Major League. And they filmed it and changed it into Cleveland Stadium. It was down at Camden Yards in Baltimore. And you know, you're not like the best reality actor in the world. Charlie Sheen's on the mound trying to throw a strike, and he's getting pissed off for real. And all the extras, myself included, were chanting, "Bring in the stunt double! Bring in the stunt double!" And he got pissed off and stormed off the mound and threw the ball back at Tom Berenger. It was hilarious.
Right.
It was really seriously. And then we had Bob Uecker walk down like he did on the commercial. Hey, buddy, how you doing? Great seats. Just call the front office and bingo.
Yeah.
I love Bob Uecker. I think he's one of the best underrated broadcasters of all time. But he was there and they were filming and, you know, it was fun. It was a fun kind of thing, cool. But boy, oh boy, man, you want to talk about, I was like looking at Charlie thinking, man, I think he's coked up this morning.
He might be. And then
he doesn't go anywhere. He's not allowed to.
He had a big rep for both, you know, cocaine and,
he couldn't get
enough women, man.
He's not doing that shit anymore. Cause his dad lives in the same area with him, the same general bunch of houses. They all live kind of on a,
I mean, he respects his father.
Oh God. Yeah. His father actually was You know, he was pronounced dead and came back to life. They resuscitated.
The son or the father?
No, the son.
Oh.
Not Martin. Not Martin. No, Martin's there with Charlie, and you know, Emilio Estevez is running around doing all kinds of stuff for the environment. He's, you know, very busy.
No, they're a spectacular Hollywood family. Really, they really are.
It's pretty amazing. You know them, the Bridges. You know.
Oh, I remember Jeff Bridges when he was the earliest Tommy. They called him Jeff. He was called Jeff in the very first Lassie.
Oh, Jeff Bridges.
Yes, you know.
No, it wasn't Lassie. It was the sea thing.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't Lassie.
He had one season. He had one or maybe two seasons most of Lassie.
No, you might be right. I don't know.
He was before Timmy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. And he didn't last.
Well, eventually, Timmy's just going to have to stay in the well. That's all I'm saying. It's just, Lassie's like, Timmy's trapped in the well. What a dumbass. Not again. Hey, yeah. Timmy, get the fuck out of the goddamn well.
Right.
Christ.
What happened to Timmy? Oh, man.
I really would love. Oh, look, set up professional audio and audio settings.
Right.
Now I'm not in a hurry to do that right now. This is Ward.
Ward, something's wrong with the beaver. Okay, back to sports.
Good morning, Mrs. Cleaver. You look extra lovely today. Oh, thank you, Eddie.
Thank you, Ward.
Eddie Haskell, man, the original slicky boy.
Oh man, we're dating ourselves. If there's any young people listening to this, I say, what the hell?
Well, you can always go on something like Nickelodeon or some of these more. There's actually programs. I just saw a program for an ISP channel, which is nothing but stuff. I know my good friend Jimmy Weddle would. It's all John Wayne. Goes back to the So You're or Wells Fargo show. You know, the guy's name is Wells Fargo. You know, and he's the hero.
Dale Robertson.
Yeah, I think so. I think that and Gunsmoke. They get can't do that without Gunsmoke.
James Arness, Miss Kitty, the Doc,
man.
And Chester. You know,
of course.
Mr. Dillon. What? Why are they calling the saloon a whorehouse?
Green Acres is the place for me. See, I think that subconsciously got in my mind, and the first time I saw a bunch of pot plants, I was like, Green Acres is the place for me.
And then there was Bonanza, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
An early version of Yellowstone, early primitive version.
Listen, Paul, I got to go into town. He's always got to go into town.
Oh, you're going to get in trouble.
I don't care. Look, man, every male figure on, except for one, on Andy Griffith was single.
Well, you know, once you have marriages, you got to start dealing with the marriage life, and then the whole show changes, and now it's father knows best.
Well, did you know who the guy was playing a married guy? The drunk.
That's right. Yeah, get back home to your wife.
Drunk tank all
the time. I think you ought to get back home to your wife, Orville.
You need to wake up. You can't sleep here all day.
No. Yeah.
I'm fixing to clean that and get out of there.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's funny too, because I just brought up something that I just did something that's a pet peeve with me and other people.
Yeah.
I'm fixing to.
Yeah.
What are you really, really handy? What are you saying? I'm fixing to. No, you're going to. No, I'm fixing to.
Yeah.
You'll do.
You know, that's a good way of getting...
I tell you what.
That's a
somebody that says that with malice, somebody that says, I tell you what, has absolutely not one fucking thing to say. Nothing. I tell you what, down yonder that there holler. What is a fucking holler? Sorry.
Well, you don't... If you lived here, you wouldn't have to ask that question.
I know. I should know better. I should know better. I really should. Because now you're going to get in trouble, and so am I.
People who live here, they know. Well,
I live here. I live in West Virginia. It's just that
you just don't understand it.
I have never been. It would be like my friend Robin in Australia agreeing with, "How you going, mate?"
Right, I know.
Your greeting is, how you going? Buy car!
I notice...
Why am I turning into Lewis Black?
For example, I was listening to the Alliance for Retired Americans executive board meeting there, I don't know, the day before yesterday. Anyway.
Oh, cool.
But when I was listening to the conversation, all elderly people, and most of them really very native to West Virginia. And the conversation, you know, tries to follow an agenda.
Yep.
You know, there is an agenda, okay, but you know, almost every speaker who's lived here most of their lives, you know, no matter how businesslike the point on the agenda is supposed to be, they get personal about it. Okay, and not a nasty way, but they'll reach out to somebody else, you know, and make sure that someone's illness, or disability, or problem, or challenge, or recent loss of a partner
becomes inflated.
No, it just becomes part of the conversation. You can't have a conversation that's too impersonal. And there's a kind of a quality to it that I remember from my grandparents, you know, who were West Virginians. And kind of a style. I don't know whether it's unique to here or just Appalachia, Hill Country, whatever. But I recognize it in the conversation. I could hear that, you know, oh, they're getting off track. No, that's a style here in this state amongst especially older
generations. Yeah, you don't tell them going down yonder in the holler. I'm going down yonder in the holler, and then I'm fixing to get mom and M's.
Right, you know.
Eat yet? Hey, John, did you eat yet?
Yeah, no, I just caught some fish.
Did you eat?
No, I didn't eat. I don't eat in the morning. No.
I found mine was a squirrel, or a couple of them in a lean-to, and I pulled the stick, and they all died. So I'm eating squirrel.
You know,
I'm kidding. I don't
eat squirrels. By the way, did you know that I remember the name of this restaurant that took over where Todd's old bar was there in Shepherdstown.
Oh, yeah, the restaurant that's in there. Yeah.
Alba Bee. Well, they do serve a critter pie. And they have and they do have squirrel. They got a squirrel dish.
Even gourmet. I've been told, are you there?
Yeah.
I've been told by a lot of chefs, and I've done, you know, a fair amount of research, and somebody like Andrew Zimmern, who travels around the world and the United States looking for odd foods, bizarre foods,
right,
says that, you know, you have to boil the shit out of squirrel meat and then grill it.
Really?
So, yeah. And I guess when you do that, it affects the, you know, you break down that hardcore muscle tissue and get it into just meat. And it's supposed to be very succulent. And I'm not interested in trying. It's like I ate rabbit once and I felt so guilty. I've never eaten rabbit again, ever.
Well, it's difficult to eat things that are a pet. Like farmers will tell their children, don't name the cows. Don't name them.
I wish I could tell you that everything was hunky-dory at our dinner table, but I'm sitting at this dinner table, and there is a window right here, John, that looks right out into our carport, right?
Yeah.
To the left of that window and up was the head of a deer that my dad had shot long, long time ago.
Right.
And he got it, you know, mounted.
Yeah,
and taxidermied and put up there, but you know, my brothers and I couldn't just leave it there during Christmas. We had to put a red nose on it and tell my little brother that Dad killed Rudolph.
Yeah, right. That's right. A brilliant move, guys.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, he was so upset. That poor guy was so upset.
You got him where it hurts, huh?
Oh, we suck, man. We're terrible.
Oh,
I felt
geez.
Awful. My brother Dan and Tom were like, he's crying. Look, he's crying. I was like, oh, come on.
Well, your dad always, I don't remember met him, of course, but he sounds like a fellow who could dish it out. So, you know, if you're going to dish it out.
Oh, my God, yeah. Oh, the funny thing was I never really, with all of my impressions and everything, my brothers, my sister, and my mom were the ones that encouraged me. Certainly not my dad. My dad just wanted to sit down at the head of the table, ask everyone, not that he gave a shit how they're, you know, we go around talk, how was your, and we said, a prayer before, you know, we always said grace before we ate, and we start eating, and, you know, sometimes people had to remind me, hey, Mike, when it's an old comedian's heckle line, Mike, when you get to the white part, that's the plate. You know, that was... So, yeah, I was a rather enthusiastic eater, and I never could make my father laugh until one day.
Yeah.
One day. My brother Dan said some kind of smart-ass thing to me, and I said, well, at least when I was born, the doctor knew which end to slap.
Oh, he laughed
at
that.
And my dad went... I was like, the dam is breaking. I win.
You got him to laugh. Great point.
Oh, God, yeah. He's just like looking down at his food going, which end to smack?
Right.
Because he didn't do that a lot, though. My dad did this.
Yeah. Remember, we're on radio.
Christ.
People are just imagining what you're pointing at.
My father he wasn't. I think he was in a bad mood for about 20 years while he was a cop.
Where are we at in baseball, Mike? Because, you know, come baseball, on, in this
you know,
family,
the thing
baseball
is I know it's popular right now to just look at the Nats record and go, oh, those guys. You better pay attention, because I'm telling you right now, they are not a bad baseball team. They are losing games because of their bullpen. Okay? We know that. Rizzo knows that.
Right.
Davey Martinez knows that. But they're in the top five in hitting in Major League Baseball. Average.
Right. So
we
that's
just
good.
Need, I think, one more bat that can hit for power. And I think we need probably a really solid lefty for our pitching. And just the later innings are tough. We've been giving up a lot of stuff from like the sixth inning on. And that's, you know, that's sad. But seeing the maturation of somebody like their catcher that they've his name escapes me right now. Really good baseball player, really good leader out there on the field. He's fast. Keibert Ruiz. That's right. Really good ball player.
What kind of name is that?
I don't know. I think he's Venezuelan, I believe.
Venezuelan. Okay. Well, he's like our state senator, Ms. Rucker.
Can you hold on? I haven't Ruckered in a while. I got to go Rucker now. Excuse me. Yeah. I'm going to the bathroom to go Rucker.
You know, she's a pretty smart woman.
Well, I had my conversation with our, since we do talk about sports and we mix it with some social commentary. I did get a message, a shout out over to Charlie Wiener, and I know that you tried to contact him.
Yeah, I did.
We're going to try to get that email straightened out. I may have sent it to you incorrectly, so I'm going to ask him to confirm it. Because, you know, you're doing a circle of old people that, you know.
Yeah, right.
every time we're on this podcast, it's like our glasses appear thicker. It's sad, man. So he said, yeah, he would. The thing that we need to do with him, I think, and with a couple of other interviews, would it be okay with you if we decided sometime during the day to record maybe a 15-minute or 20-minute interview segment?
Yeah, sure.
Going down the road, it's like I'll call you and say, "Hey, John, what's good for you this week? Can we do something at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon?"
That's great. Because, yes.
Okay.
And
cool.
Then you can just insert it, and then we could just insert it into the podcast.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you don't even have to put the whole thing in there.
No,
you can put like 5 minutes here,
problem.
5 minutes there, break it
no
up.
No problem at all. So. No.
Okay, buddy, great. That's awesome.
Yeah. By the way, last night there was a fatal accident on 340 between.
The road is just.
Between the Country Club Road and, the big Walmart.
I thought that was that's Flowing Springs over there.
But 340, the highway runs crosses Country Club Road, and then it crosses at the intersection.
Right, I've been on Country Club Road a lot of times.
And then it crosses also at where Walmart is and the
right. Yeah. So you can drive straight across
stretch
and go
there,
to Tractor Supply.
I don't want to tell you, man. There was the car that was flipped over on its top. Its front end was smashed all the way into the back seat.
Oh man, I'm so sorry. That's too bad.
It was a massive jam up, it doesn't look like there was. Well, it's definitely a fatality. There might have been two. I think there was two actually. So
well, this at this point, bad. Speaking of crashing and burning, the offer by Josh Harris, Magic Johnson, and Kevin Durant has been accepted. The tune to north of $6 billion to purchase the Washington Commanders football team. Josh is probably going to be confirmed because it goes out to the other owners. They just basically stamp off on it, and it's sent back, and all the other parties sign it, and we move on, and thank God. Because this guy has been a complete and utter disaster.
Yeah, bye-bye to Snyder. I agree.
Just got to go. Josh knows what he's doing. Magic knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
The only thing that we got to look out for is I know Ron Rivera is a lot about discipline and keeping yourself disciplined. And I don't blame him. He's the head coach. Yeah. But I think it was kind of telling because they have an opportunity to extend Chase Young, the defensive lineman's contract for another year for $17 million. The question is, are they going to do it? I'm worried about them trying to use Young as trade bait. And, you know, he had his rookie year. He was rookie of the year. He had the most tackles and most interceptions as a defensive lineman that year. But that was 3 years ago.
Oh, we're back on football.
He got injured last year. And the assumption was he was going to come back. Oh, he's coming back soon. Oh, he's coming back soon. We kept hearing that shit.
Yeah.
I don't think he came back until the last game. Now, a lot can be said that there's nothing there. But when Rivera makes a comment like, well, you know, you got to do the work. When you say you got to do the work, that's telling me you're observing a situation I can't see. And you're telling me this guy's not working hard enough. With all of his natural gifts, with his abilities, he should definitely be one of the highly – paid defensive ends in professional football. We'll see. It remains to be seen because he did get injured, and it was a bad injury.
Right. Hey, I had an idea for future broadcasts. I want to lay it on you here, you know, because we're coming up to pretty close to the end here.
Well, please don't lay it on me. Just speak of it.
I was wondering whether or not. You know, because I know when you're talking about some of the emerging and past, you know, sports stars, you know, their bio is just, I remember when I was young, you know, one of the things I'd always pick up in the local library or if I was looking for a book to read.
John, can I ask you something?
What?
Did you take the horse and buggy or did you just walk?
Sometimes I walked just 4 miles downtown. Me and my buddy used to walk.
Yeah, I know. I'm teasing you. Everybody.
But anyway, you know, we would buy sports biographies or we would check those out of the library, you know.
Oh, yeah. It was
Babe Ruth or Joe DiMaggio or somebody, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And I always remember, you know, that was the interesting part about how they, you know, went through. All of them go through some struggle, right, in order to realize their potential, whatever. Or something. And it was an interesting one. And injuries, you know, like the Mantle story was always interesting because, you know, he was like, you know, 10 minutes away from being a cripple half his life. And then that he was a great athlete. So, you know, whatever.
Well, and then you also had people like who played defense for Minnesota, John Randall.
Yeah.
If you look at John Randall's story.
I don't know that one. Yeah.
Well, John Randall went in. He put chains around his waist and into his pockets at the time because he wasn't that big, but he was really good. One of the defensive coaches said, "This guy's got the best kickoff move I've ever seen."
Really?
Now we gotta put some goddamn weight on him.
Yeah.
Because he went in and weighed in with the chains on. He was like. All right, see, I told you I'm 265. He was like 240. But the smart move on it was you get a guy that nobody else thought could make it at that level. Not only does he go on to make it, but he gains weight in the terms of muscle weight.
Yeah.
He's one of the fastest defensive linemen. If you look at his history playing for the Minnesota Vikings, he was a certified badass.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He pushed 350-pound lineman the fuck out of the way. Get out of my way.
I love it.
I was like, wow.
Well, anyway, buyout.
After you see that, you can't but do nothing but sign him to a contract.
So anyway, like bios, I like them. You know, for a little biographical feature would be a.
Oh man, yeah.
Cool. And you know some of these histories really, you know, so well that.
And generally, some of it is such. If you go really far back, it's just such fictitious bullshit. Wikipedia's got nothing on these folks from back in the day, man. I used to read stuff about Joe Theismann. His name was Theismann. He changed his name to Theismann to rhyme with Heisman.
Heisman. Obviously, Theismann should get the Heisman Trophy. It's destiny.
He did.
Yes.
He did. He played for Notre Dame. He's really good.
Yeah. Well, I think we've got a tape here, pal. Unless you got, do you have another feature you want to go into, or do
I don't really have another feature.
Okay.
I just want to bring something up. Guys, look, I know we're not going to agree on probably hardly anything, but one thing we can agree on is by hook or by crook, somehow, some way, this gun violence level has got to tap down. There are too many. When guns are the number one killer of young people in this country, somebody got to do something about it. I am not an advocate for taking your gun away, but I am an advocate for you not to shoot children. So you may want to think about that. Let's slap some insurance costs on them. Let's do some. Let's go back to training.
Right.
You have to be. You have in order to purchase this weapon, I have to make sure you know how to use it.
You know,
if you better have it. I'm just saying. I don't disagree with the assault rifle ban. I don't. Because I don't. You know, we all know what an AR-15 is and what it does. So it's unfortunate.
Well, you know,
thank you, John.
I think that's very good. But let me just respond to you a little bit on that one, because when I was young, there was a killing someplace, you know, in Arlington County. I don't know. Anyway, I was asking my dad about why do people walk around with guns? And so he, of course, was raised in Abilene, Kansas, and told me the story of Wyatt Earp. Right about the same time, you know, the TV show, the first with Hugh O'Brien came on the screen. And I said, well, what is that story? He says, well, when a cattle drive would arrive, you know, once the railroad got far enough west so that if you gathered cattle from all over the Southwest, you know, you could just bring them in. And even though you had nothing but strays you were bringing in, you could now sell them for beef because they could get on the railroad and go back to Chicago and someone would eat them. And right. Also you had a meatpacking industry starting, you know, right there.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, yeah. So it was a big economic thing. But anyway, so Earp's thing was, is that, you know, he wasn't surprised that people would travel 1,000 miles picking up stray cattle, bring them all the way to the middle of Kansas. And they're liable to be, semi-insane when the only business in town is basically a bar and a whorehouse, you know. So, banned weapons in the town.
Yeah, and my wife, thank you for that input. My wife is researching the hydrogen hub that you were discussing. I don't think I should have brought that up because I don't want to continue on. I think we've got enough for now. But put a pin in hydrogen hub because I think we're going to talk about it.
That should be interesting. Before we get off. But so I asked my dad. I said, "Well, you lived in Abilene, and Earp was a." He was a sheriff in Dodge City, not right. Abilene. And he said, well, that's true. We had started it out. We hired Wild Bill Hickok to be our sheriff, which it turns out that is true. They did. However, Hickok was drunk most of the time. And sure. When he didn't do like Earp, knock somebody over the head, and put him into jail. You know, he would start shooting people, and he had a habit of shooting innocent bystanders. So
we're standing next to him. Bang!
So he was only there for a year and a half, and they fired him. You know. Anyway, yeah, so
when I see these kids get shot, my heart breaks, man.
Yeah, I know it's heartbreaking, and I don't know what.
Buddy, I thank you again for allowing me to spew some of my nonsense.
And no, man, you did it. We got a lot of good stuff. I want to thank you for you know, taking charge. And
you're heading out. Everybody okay. Have a great day and listen to John. He's got one more thing to say.
All right. It's late, but everything comes next.